This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links.
That's right. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents, our first program after May Day. So let's take this opportunity to wish everybody a happy May Day. A little late, but better late than never.
Listeners, you'd be interested to know that Diana turned my microphone off until she got the intro out. Who knows why?
And I could do that again at any time.
I'd like to remind you that today is International Press Freedom Day, and I feel somewhat silenced by the way you've been managing the panel this morning. Good morning, listeners. 1 minute past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents. This is the May Day program. We've got some roundup of May Day events across the region, which no doubt you'll be interested in. And, of course, our May Day event, or for those of us in Melbourne, Australia, is tomorrow, so we'll be announcing those details shortly. But of course, Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. For those details, I'm going to hand over to my censoring comrade here, Diana.
Oh, everyone wants to feel oppressed. If you want to get any more information about any of the stories we present this morning or any more details about what's going on in the labour movement in the Asia Pacific region, you can always go on our website, aawl.org.au. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or you can call us during the week, 9663 7277. But on with the news roundup this morning that's got a bit of a special theme.
Indeed. Well, hundreds of thousands of workers across the world took to the streets on Thursday, the 1st of May, to mark International Workers' Day, otherwise known as May Day. In some parts of the world, like Australia, we'll be marching and rallying this weekend, and we'll bring you those updates in future programs. But let's start with some very notable May Day reports. We'll start with Turkey. The Turkish government mobilised some 40,000 paramilitary forces and issued a ban on May Day activists from gathering in Gezi Park in Taksim Square. You'll recall that Gezi Park in Taksim Square is where protests broke out in May last year. Riot police sealed off the whole of central Istanbul near Taksim Square to ensure that no protesters made it to a peaceful demonstration planned there. With scant warning, police used tear gas and water cannon against a crowd of several thousand people that were peacefully assembling close to DISC, which is the Radical Trade Union Confederation, and that building is located in Şişli District. More than 140 people were detained and 90 people, including 19 police officers, were injured in clashes that continued in the main and back streets of central Istanbul right up until the afternoon of Thursday, the 1st of May. I'm intending to speak with the international officer of DISC. His name is Kivanch, who has been filling us in on the details of what's happening around May Day in Turkey. So hopefully we'll have that interview next week on the program.
And another May Day story this morning, this one from Pakistan, where May Day was again celebrated in most cities across the country. This year, leaders and members of the trade unions, workers' unions and other left-wing groups called on the government of Pakistan to drop the proposal of privatisation, to end corruption, unemployment and the energy crisis, and also raise the minimum wage level of every worker to prepare for the impact of persistent increases in the price of goods. the workers in Pakistan are perhaps in a worse condition than the martyred labourers of Chicago in 1886, which is where May Day gets its history. Unemployment, rising inflation, job security, low wages, depressing poverty and inequality have all made the lives of common workers unbearable in Pakistan. The Labour leaders said that there was a need to start a campaign like that of the Chicago workers to get their well-justified and due rights and remember the struggle that's gone on ever since that first May Day.
In Bangladesh, with the rising number of union membership in light of recent catastrophes there, factory workers there took part in May Day protests over their own cost of living, slum housing, malnutrition and unaffordable healthcare. Tens of thousands of workers marked May Day in Dhaka, with huge demonstrations calling for safer working conditions, stronger labour laws and better wages. The protests have added significance following the Rana Plaza and Tazreen factory tragedies, which have left over 1,200 workers dead. Shamima Nazreen is a member of the Garment Workers Union and she explained what workers were demanding. She said our demand on this May Day is that legal measures are guaranteed against the owner of Rana Plaza. We also hope that compensation is in place for those workers whose dead bodies are still missing and the injured must be compensated based on loss of future earnings.
And in Cambodia on May Day, security forces armed with sticks and batons forcibly dispersed dozens of protesters near Phnom Penh's Freedom Park. Five people were injured, according to reports. And in Malaysia, in the centre of Kuala Lumpur, unions gathered to protest against the government's proposed goods and services tax, which is due to come into force next year. The move is intended to reduce Malaysia's debt, but many say the burden will fall on ordinary people. And in Hong Kong, a better work-life balance was the main rallying cry for workers this May Day, calling for 8 hours work, 8 hours free time and 8 hours rest. A long-standing and seemingly simple demand, but it's far from a reality for workers in Hong Kong. And even, I mean, even in Australia, we hear the average working hours in Australia are 44 hours a week. So people are putting in much longer hours than some people might think. And our last May Day item is from South Korea, where the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions held its annual May Day march, with tens of thousands of protesters taking part. The Federation of Korean Trade Unions, which is an alternative labour federation, cancelled its May Day event to mourn the victims of the ferry disaster in Korea. And there were, of course, many, many more inspiring May Day demonstrations across the world, but that's all we're able to report on this morning.
Of course, if you want to participate in Melbourne, Victoria's May Day March, that will be held tomorrow, the Sunday, the 4th of May. We're assembling at 1 p.m. outside of Victoria Trades Hall, which is on the corner of Lygon and Victoria Streets in Carlton. So that's 1 o'clock tomorrow at Trades Hall for our May Day March.
And moving on to other news from around the region this morning here on Asia Pacific Currents on 3CR Community Radio. This morning we have an update on the two-week strike by tens of thousands of workers at the Yuyuan shoe manufacturer in South China. It was a very significant strike with estimates of up to 30 or 40,000 workers taking part at an enormous shoe manufacturer which produces hundreds of millions of pairs of shoes for brands like Nike and Adidas. It was one of the biggest strikes in recent history in China. But the workers have returned to work with some of their demands met. The local government supported the workers' demand for back pay of social security payments that were owing to them, and the government put pressure on the company to settle on that matter. And the official Chinese union, the All China Federation of Trade Unions, also released a public statement supporting the election of worker representatives for that factory. However, workers report that they were put under heavy pressure to return to work from both government and police, who actually entered the factory to push the workers to return to their workstations. Police and government officials also question activists and have detained workers who were leading the strike. So a mixed reaction from the government, on one hand supporting the legal demands, but cracking down on any signs of independent organising by these Chinese workers.
And of course, there's quite a strong international solidarity campaign supporting those workers in China, which is, in our experience anyway, vital to the success of some of these demonstrations and some of these strikes. As reported previously, the Australian government is continuing to increase repressive measures against refugees. Not content with having two concentration camps in isolated parts of Papua New Guinea and Nauru, the government is now looking to get Cambodia to accept some of these refugees. Given that there's no procedure for these refugees to become Cambodian citizens and the authoritarian nature of the Cambodian government, this move amounts to further victimisation of refugees. The campaign against the Australian government continues, and we'll have more information about that up on our website. But, I mean, it's just extraordinary. I mean, we announced some the violence at the May Day rally in Cambodia, and this is where we want to be sending refugees.
And the Bhopal disaster might have been 30 years ago, but it's still killing people in India. The industrial accident at the Union Carbide plant in Bhopal happened in 1984, and 25,000 people have died as a direct result of the accident since. But no one has been tried for the murder of these people, and thousands of people affected are still without compensation. The latest environmental testing has shown that the site is still terribly polluted, and there's a constant danger for workers and their communities. And of course, these communities in Bhopal are still fighting for justice, and the international solidarity campaign still continues.
And as I mentioned earlier in the program, today is International Day of Press Freedom. So it's now officially recognised by the UN. I don't know if that lends any greater credence to those of you listening, but it is International Press Freedom Day. So it's worth noting that comrades such as Somyot and others in Thailand are still being charged and sentenced under Les Majestés laws. Somyot's been languishing in prison now for 3 years. He was the editor of a publication called Voice. It's a magazine, and his charge related to an article that was published in that magazine. The story was a fictional piece set in historic Thailand that was deemed to be offensive to the monarchy. Somyot wasn't the author of the story, but he's now in prison for 11 years for that. It's also important to remember the journalists from Al Jazeera that are currently being detained in Cairo on false allegations of spreading false news and aiding the blacklisted Muslim Brotherhood, which was responsible, the Muslim Brotherhood of which President Mohamed Morsi was a part of, and he was overthrown by the army in July. We, that is AAWL, calls for the release of all of our comrades, so that is left-wing labour movement activists, a number of whom are journalists.
And in South Korea this May Day, one of the central themes has been the commemoration of all those who died on the ferry disaster, which we've heard so much about in the media. And we want to point out this morning that this South Korean ferry disaster was preventable. The sinking of the ferry, called the MW Sewol, a couple of weeks ago, led to the deaths of hundreds of people, but it's also highlighted problems associated with the relentless drive in South Korea to cut costs. And in response, the South Korean government has tried to control the anger of the bereaved families, but on May Day, their anger came out and, like I said, was one of the themes of the May Day protests. Workers have also protested against the deregulation and privatisation of public transport and emergency services, as well as the widespread use of precarious work arrangements.
Well, that is the news from around the region. We're going to go to some community announcements, and then when we're back, we'll bring our feature piece for today. This morning we'll be hearing from Shumi Aberdeen, who is a survivor of the Tazreen factory fire that occurred on the 24th of November 2012 in Bangladesh. She was brought to Australia by Oxfam Australia. We recorded her speech and we'll be broadcasting that next.
Get a healthy dose of anti-nuclear, peace and sustainability issues on The Radioactive Show. 10 a.m. Saturdays on 3CR Community Radio, 855 on your AM dial. And also podcast and web streamed on the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au. The Radioactive Show, where every bit of exposure makes you stronger.
Animals need to sleep, just like you and me. That's why children will be marching for the animals Sunday from Princess Park to Melbourne Zoo. The east-west toll road puts trucks from Port Melbourne and traffic from everywhere within 40 metres of the zoo, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't let this happen. Join Rod Quantock and the children at Princess Park by the Sport Pavilion at Walker Street at 1 p.m. They'll be wearing their favourite zoo animal costume or carrying a soft toy for the march to the zoo. Let the government know that animals need sleep at night and stop the road rage outside our zoo. Sunday, the 4th of May at 1 p.m. Moreland Community Against the Tunnel, a 3CR supporter.
It's just over a year since the collapse of Rana Plaza in Bangladesh that killed over 1,000 workers. The companies involved in the massacre have been negligent in paying compensation to the survivors and families of the dead, and a similar situation is evident for the survivors of the Tazreen factory fire, which happened over 18 months ago, where workers are still waiting for compensation. In commemoration of the one-year anniversary of Rana Plaza, Oxfam Australia hosted a speaking tour of Shumi Aberdeen, who is a survivor of Tazreen factory fire, and Kalpona Akhtar from the Bangladesh Centre for Workers' Solidarity. We were lucky enough to attend the public meeting that was organised and we recorded those speeches. So what we're going to broadcast now is Shumi Aberdeen retelling the story of her survival of the Tazreen factory fire, and she's translated or interpreted here by Kalpona Akhtar.
আমার নাম শুমি আবেদিন আমার বয়স 20 বছর যখন আমি গার্মেন্টসে চাকরি নিছি তখন আমার বয়স 13 ছিল.
My name is Shumi Aberdeen. I'm 20 years old. When I started working at the factory, I was 13 years old.
আমি অনেকগুলো ফ্যাক্টরিতে চাকরি করছি আমার তাজরিনে চাকরির বয়স ছিল 2 বছর.
I worked a couple of factories and at Tazreen I worked 2 years.
আমাদের কারখানার কর্মপরিবেশ খুবই খারাপ ছিল আমাদের কারখানার গালাগালি করত প্রোডাকশন না হলে মারধর করত লাইন চিপ সুপারভাইজাররা গালাগালি করত আমাদের যেদিকে আমরা চলাফেরা করতাম সেই রাস্তা সবসময় আটকানো থাকতো আমরা পিএমডি জিএমডি বললে তারা বলতো যে কোনো দুর্ঘটনা ঘটলে আমরা ওটা ঠিক করে দিব.
My working condition was poor, like there was enormous verbal and physical abuses. If we would not hit the production quota, our supervisor would slap on us. And the doors and aisles always used to be locked when we was working at the factory. Whenever we raised these issues to our production manager and factory manager, they said, there will be no accident, and if there is an accident, we'll fix those.
24 নভেম্বর 2012 সালে আমাদের তাজরিনে আগুন লাগছে ওই সময় আমি তাজরিনে কাজ করতাম.
On November 24, 2012, when there was a fire at the factory, I was in that factory, I was working there.
24 তারিখে সকাল 8টা বাজে আমরা কাজে গেছি পরে একটা বন্ধ কাজ করছি একটার থেকে দুইটা বন্ধ লাঞ্চ পরে দুইটার থেকে আমরা 6:30টা বন্ধ একটা না কাজ করছি.
Like other day, on November 24th, I came in my work shift at 8 a.m. I started. 8 to 1 p.m. and then 1 to 2, that was lunch break. I went to lunch and came back at 2. And 2 to 6:30, I worked continuous.
পরে 6:30 বন্ধ কাজ করছি এক ওয়ার্কার বলছে আগুন লাগছে তখন আমরা সবাই নামতে গেছি আমাদের পিএম সুপারভাইজার লাইন চিফ তারা আমরা আমাদের নামতে দেয় নাই তারা গালাগালি করছে যে তোরা কাজ করে কোনো আগুন লাগে নাই পরে আমরা সবাই আবার গালাগালি করছে দেখে পরে আমরা সবাই আবার মেশিনে বসে পড়ছি.
Around 6:30, when I was working in my machine, one worker came in the production floor and said, there is a fire in the factory. By hearing that, we got panicky, and along with others, I tried to escape. I ran to the stairs, but our middle managers and supervisors, they started yelling on us and said, there is no fire, this is lie, go back to your machine. And as we afraid them, we went back to machine and keep doing our work.
পরে আমরা সবাই যখন কাজে বসছি তার মধ্যে 5 মিনিটের মতো কাজ করছি পরে আমাদের সবার নাকে এই গন্ধ বেরিয়েছে পরে আমরা সবাই নামতে গেছি একলগে পরে আমাদের মেয়েদের সিঁড়িতে তালা লাগাই দিয়েছে পরে আমরা নামতে পারিনি পরে আবার ছেলেদের সিঁড়িতে আমরা নামতে গেছি পরে একদম দোতলা পর্যন্ত নামছি নামার পর আমি অনেক আগুন দেখছি দোতলায়.
So and then you know, by afraiding them, we were keep working. After 5 minutes or so, everyone started smelling the smoke, and as well as me. Then we found there is a fire in the factory, and I tried to escape, and I ran to the stairs. There is a two stairs for female workers. When I ran there, I found those two stair doors are locked, padlocked. Then I was working in fifth floor, and I was looking for a escape way. And then I ran to the men's stair, one stair that is using by men and managers. So I ran to there. Everyone was rushed to that stairs. And along with many others, I was able to come up to the second floor where I saw there is a fire in the down stairs. So there is no way we can escape through main door.
পরে প্রায় 1500 লোকের মতো আমরা ছিলাম। পরে আমরা দোতলার থেকে পরে আবার অনেকে মোবাইলের বাতি ধরে তিনতলা বন্ধ উঠতেছে। পরে আমি আবার অন্ধকারে ওই দিক দিয়ে হাতে হাতে তিনতলা বন্ধ উঠছি। উঠার পর তিনতলায় কারেন্ট পাইছি। পরে ওই সময় আবার আমিও মানে ডাকতেছি আল্লাহ লাগে। পরে নামতে পারি নাই। পরে আমরা তিনতলায় অনেকে কান্নাকাটি করতেছে, তার মধ্যে পরে কারেন্ট চলে গেছে।
So there was a 1500 workers in that day in the factory. So when everyone was stuck, nobody could escape through the main door. We were trying to other way. Then along with others, I was able to come up to the third floor, which is another production floor, where everyone crying and, you know, asking for help, calling God to help us. And meanwhile, the power gone, everything become dark.
পরে আমি আবার তিনতলায় গেছি। তখন তিনতলায় যখন অনেক আগুন দেখছি, তখন আমিও মানে ই করতেছি। পরে আমি আবার দেখি যে আমাদের এক সহকর্মী মেকানিক ছিল, ওই দেখি একজাস্ট ফ্যান ভাঙতেছে। পরে আমিও ওই দিক দিয়ে গেছি যে এত আগুনে পুরা মরমু, আমি তো আগুনে পুরা মরলে কয়লা হয়ে যাবো। সেজন্য আমি তিনতলা থেকে লাভ দিছি যে আমার আব্বা মা জানি আমার লাশটা পায়।
So everyone was crying and screaming and trying to find a way, as well as me, I scared too. And meanwhile, there is a fire in the third floor. And I saw a fire behind of me, and I was looking for a way to escape. And I saw that one of my co-worker, mechanic, he's trying to remove the bar from adjust fan hole, which is a ventilation fan. And when I saw fire in back to me, I decided to jump from that third floor, because I thought if I would be in the factory, I would burn to ash, and my parents will not even find my body. So I jumped from third floor by thinking that if I jump, at least my parents can find my body in outside. So I didn't jump to save my life. I jumped to save my body.
পরে আমার জ্ঞান ছিল না। লাভ দেওয়ার পর পরে দেখছি যে আমাদের আশেপাশে অনেক মানুষ কান্নাকাটি করতেছে। অনেকক্ষণ পরে আমার জ্ঞান আসছে। পরে আমি ওই সময় উঠছি, সিঁড়ি ধরে মানে নিচের তালা ধরে উঠতে লইছি আমাদের পাশের রুমের উপর দিয়ে। পরে ওই সময় দেখি যে আমার পা ভাঙছে। তারপরে আমি হাত দিয়ে একটা লাঠি ধরছি। পরে ওই সময় দিয়ে আমার হাত ভাঙছে, এদিক দিয়ে সুই লাগিয়েছিল, এদিক দিয়ে কাটতে গেছিল।
So when I jumped, I never thought I would alive. I was unconscious, and after a while I was hearing people scream, crying. Then I got conscious, and then I tried to stand up and leave that area. And when I tried to stand up, I found that my leg broken, my wrist broken, and my head got bleeding, and there was bleeding in my back as well.
পরে আমার এক সহকর্মী ছিল, ওই আরো 2-3 মাস আগে চাকরি ছাড়ছে। পরে ওর সাথে আমার দেখা হয়েছে। পরে আমি তারে বলছি যে সোহেল ভাই আমার একটু বাসায় নিয়ে যান। পরে ওই সোহেল ভাই আমার বাসায় লয়ে গেছে। তারপর আমার আব্বা মা আমার হসপিটালে নিছে।
So then I was looking for help. Well, I was lucky that I found one of my co-worker named Sohel. He was there, and I requested him to help me and to take me to my home. And then he helped me, and he took me to my home. And then my parents took me to the hospital.
পরে এলো হসপিটালে যায়। পরে নারী শিশুতে যায়, একশো বিকশো করছি। করার পর ওই জায়গা থেকে আমার পুঙ্গু হাসপাতালে পাঠাই দিয়েছিল। পরে হাত পা ব্যান্ডেজ করে আমি 1.5 মাস পুঙ্গু হাসপাতালে ছিলাম।
Then I have been taken to a nearest hospital named Women and Children Hospital, who has referred me to the orthopedic hospital, where I was admitted a month and a half.
আমরা কোনো টাকা পয়সা পাইছিলাম না। আমি শুধু 14,000 টাকা বেতন পাইছিলাম। আর এলো কোন ভাইরে নাকি 1,00,000 টাকা দিছিল। এই 1,14,000 টাকা দিছিল আমার। পরে আমি ওইটাই 2-3 মাসে চিকিৎসা করে টাকা ফুরিয়ে ফেলাইছি।
I haven't received any compensation. The money I have received, it is 14,000 taka from as my back wages, and 100,000 taka, which is approximate $1,200. I don't know who paid. I hear that one of the brand who paid that. So this amount of money, 1,200 and 14,000, it's approximate $1,400 that I had to spend for my medical treatment that I spent very first 3 months of the after the accident.
Thank you.
That I wanted to share. Thank you.
That was Shumi Aberdeen retelling the story of her survival of the Tazreen factory fire. Quite an extraordinary story, and quite courageous for her to be sharing that, given what she's risking when she returns to Bangladesh. And she, among many other thousands of workers in Bangladesh, continue to fight for a compensation for those that are victims and the families of those that have passed away.
You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents here on 3CR Community Radio, and it's 25 minutes past nine. Given that we do have a bit of time left before the end of the program, we're going to play a track for you. It's a track that a Solidarity Breakfast plays from time to time, but it's one that we like a lot as well. It's by Peggy Seeger, Not Gonna Give It Back, and I think it's a great song to encapsulate the struggles around May Day and Workers' Memorial Day, which was on the 28th of April, that, you know, workers have struggled hard for all of the protections that we have today. There's still a lot more to struggle for, but in this environment with right-wing governments and bosses determined to take back what we have won, we want to remember that we are going to fight, and like Peggy Seeger says, we're not going to give it back.
We worked and we fought for the little lads ours, and we're not going to give it back. While you ride around in a Rolls Royce car, and we're not going to give it back. You take away our bread and butter while you're drinking wine, and you send out the cops against the picket line. You tried it before, but I swear this time we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. No fear, we're not gonna give it back. Well, you want our wages and our benefits too, but we're not gonna give it back. To make less for us and more for you, and we're not gonna give it back. Your profits are higher than they've ever been. The economy's a mess 'cause you're greedy as sin, and you never will care what shape we're in, and we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. No fear, we're not gonna give it back. We won the right to bargain and the right to strike, and we're not gonna give it back. Now you think you can cancel them whenever you like, and we're not gonna give it back. Listen while I tell you about the rich and poor. It's what my mama told me all about the class war, and it's mighty plain to see what the union's for, and we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back, no fear, we're not gonna give it back. It's the same old story about the wealthy few getting rich off the workers' back. You divide us up by giving jobs to two while another two get the sack. Up to now you've had your ride for free, but we'll put a picket line around the whole country, and we'll set up a banner for the world to see that says you're never gonna get it back. No, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. No fear, you're never gonna get it back. No, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. No fear, you're never gonna get it back.
That was Peggy Seeger with Not Gonna Give It Back. That brings us to the end of the program, but very quickly I'd like to announce May Day once again and hopefully get all of you out there. It's tomorrow, Sunday the 4th of May at 1 o'clock at Trades Hall, which is the corner of Lygon and Victoria Street. So get along to May Day tomorrow.
But it's 29 minutes past nine, which means that's it from us, Asia Pacific Currents. Do go to our website, Australia Asia Worker Links, if you'd like any more information or to get in touch with us, aawl.org.au. That's it from me, Diana Beaumont.
And me, Giselle Hanna. We'll be back next Saturday from 9 o'clock for more news and current affairs from the Asia Pacific region. But coming up next is Palestine Remembered.